Okay, Shai, you want to be on speaker or no?
Yeah, you're on speaker.
You're good, Trent. Okay, clicking on. Whatever works, I don't care.
All right, cool. Bye. Okay. So I'll give these. Yeah, these are exciting. We got the brand new picture of Neuberger on these, by the way. Not the old one, but the new one. Here. Wow. I think this picture was even here when Leo was in the shirt. At the end of last month. Okay. So just to remind ourselves what the goal of our Habura is, it's to use topics that we're familiar with and then look at how we can grow from them. And today we have a very cool opportunity to look at something which Neuberger has spoken a lot about, which is Svara. Svara. Oh, yeah. So if you guys remember, there's a small machlokes at the beginning of the Sefta, which many people or Shira might just, you know, it's an important machlokes. Can you use human logic to determine punishments? It's even before you got into the Shira Mordecai, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So, can you use human logic to determine punishment? For example, if you know that doing one action gets malchus or a certain punishment, can an action which you think is worse, can you give them a worse punishment for that?
Or at least malchus.
Or at least equal. Right, or at least equal. Right, so let, you know, give me a good example of malchus. Imzomen could be.
Essentially.
Let's say a simple one.
Breaking Shabbos.
Breaking Shabbos. Let's say by accident you bring korban.
Yeah.
You don't bring your korban.
When do you get malchus?
Didn't you learn that somehow?
No, it's Marcos. Oh, so let's say you do climb.
Shadness.
Climb, you do shadness, you get Marcos. So, nah, I don't know what I'm doing here anyways. Whatever, you know the point is that, let's say like you hit a human being, you have to give a certain korban, whatever, you have to pay him back. If you hit your father, Kal v'chomer should be worse. We happen to know that the punishment is worse for hitting a parent. You get killed. But let's say you didn't know that din. So can you use Kal v'chomer to make a harsher punishment? That's the machlokes in the Gemara. It's like a small machlokes. Ein shemen adin. The first mission of the whole parak seems to imply ein shemen adin, that we can use human logic to determine, like we're saying, oh, this is worse than that, so okay, fine, you should be chayev more. That's the whole first mission of the parak. And Rebbe expounded from here. Basically, the words in bold in the first source. V'atana herich lahag the Torah v'yadir. It's basically when we develop that the whole this little machlokes is actually the backbone of the whole masechta. Is how valuable is human logic to developing all of Nezikim? If you recall, it was pretty amazing. If you didn't see the piece, if you didn't hear it from him live, basically it's called Chav Tes. Neuberger has a piece. It's empty. But so. So our mesechta, we said paskin on shemen adin, we can use svar. So svar is this huge thing. Kash is what can svar teach us. What else can svar teach us? That's question number one. I'm going to ask you a couple questions to start. Question number two is one of the strangest midrashim I think I've ever seen. Look at source number two for a second. When Bnei Yisrael is leaving Egypt, they get up to the Yam Suf. And the Medrash says, Hayam Rav Ayanos, the Yam saw and ran away. Ma'ra, what did it see? Braisa de Rebbe Yishmal. What's the Braisa de Rebbe Yishmal? A little bit weird, right? One of the weirdest midrashim you've seen?
It's up there.
It's up there, right? It doesn't make it. Like, what is going on? It's a very, very strange midrash. And what does it even mean? That's another second question. And the third question I'm going to ask is basically something that I struggled with a lot in college. I'm a bit of a strange person. Come in. Hey, Daniel. Okay, I'll give you a check.
Thank
So the third question, we'll review them at the end, is something that I struggled with a lot in college. I was saying I'm a little bit of a strange person, that I actually like class a lot. I actually now voluntarily take more class, even though I have left college. But one of the things that bothered me a lot was, like, I go to class and I can learn something very easily, and it can be interesting, and I can now know things. But I open a Gemara, and it's so hard to figure out what's going on for so long. You can spend 3 hours learning a Gemara and get halfway down the page, or you can spend 3 hours reading, like, a book of Aristotle or something, and you can read, like, 45 pages and learn a ton. So I was actually, I had a stage, I was very angry at Ravina and Ravashi for writing it so unclearly and making learning, like, so hard. And I think, like, everyone has this. Everyone feels that learning is very, very difficult. But why does it have to be so hard? Those are the three questions. Question number one is, what does Svar teach us? Question number two is, what's the strange brisa that the Yamsuf saw, the brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, and therefore split? Question number three is, why does Torah learning have to be so hard? Question number four, should I open the door, or is it good temperature in here? It's fine? It's fine? In Florida, Shia.
What?
You're used to hotter weather. You're in Florida anyways.
Oh, my goodness. Well, whatever.
Okay. So, the answer, I think, to all these caches is bread. Is lechem. It's lechem. Trivia question for the table. Who knows, A, the order of the brachas we make, and B, where the order comes from?
In the Torah.
Okay.
Order in which it said it, like Eretz Kitim's Ara.
Ah.
It's going closer to Eretz, I love Machon.
Nachon. Yeah. Nachon, exactly. So the Pasuk, look at number Dalet here. Eretz Kitim's Ara v'gefen te'enu rimon, Eretz is Shemar Devash. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol ha-kodem v'pasuk, Eretz Kitim's Ara. Kodem l'bracha, the Eretz Basin, it's a Ge'inyin, right? V'chol ha-samuch lo, exactly what Ezra was saying, Choshev me'emuchar rimenu l'Eretz Kama. So, in this Pasuk, whatever is closer to the word Eretz is going to come first. So, what comes after Eretz? The first one is Chita. What's Chita? Mm-hmm. What brach is that? Well, it's going to be, it refers to Hamotzi here. Hamotzi comes first. And so is barley. Barley is Mizonos. So that's going to come second. Gefen is Ha'etz. Te'ena, Rimon. And, you know, and
it goes Gefen. Gefen. Gefen.
Well, this Gefen is referring to grapes. No, it's not. It's actually, you know, it's wine. It's wine. So it's Hamotzi, Mizonos, Hagefen, then Ha'etz, and then Hadam at the end. And that's the order. But like you guys realize, the strange thing is that Chita is wheat. What actually do you make on wheat?
Machokes, but Shako.
Shako, if it's uncommon, but let's say it was commonly eaten, what do you make on wheat? Hadam.
Hadam.
It's a plant. It's like a vegetable. What?
Only like granola bar.
Nachon, right? It's complicated what you make on a granola bar. So wheat is really hadama. And that is the lowest bracha. You know, shakol and hadama is the lowest bracha. And soda is also, technically, if you don't make it into something, it's hadama also. So what changed that it goes from hadama to the lowest bracha, and also now it's bread, and now it's the highest bracha? Yeah, what's up?
It's processed.
Okay. Azma?
So then you got like something else out of it, meaning on the front, on the face, it's just wheat, but if you process it, then you're able to get bread out of it. So meaning the bracha that we make for bread isn't really the wheat, but it's the wheat that's then processed.
Oh, so a different thing entirely.
Yeah.
Or it's more, we could say.
It's the same item, but it takes on a new meaning.
Better. By changing the form and making the bracha, you're taking Hashem from the ability to change the form.
You guys are all right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and this is the example that Tanchuma gives on the Medrash Tanchuma of Rabbi Akiva turns Rufus.
Ah, nachon, perfect. So we were that was going to be at the end when you say a lot of things very fast. I'd mention the Rabbi Akiva turns Rufus, but so okay, so we'll develop it. So what happened between chita and bread that changes it? Is that who gave us chita? Who gave us wheat? Hashem. Who gave us bread? Us. What? Exactly.
But we're saying Motzi, but the Haaretz, so.
Who's Hamotzi?
Well,
Hashem, right? So it's a little bit, but
I've discussed that with him for another time.
Yeah, it's a kind of and Hashem within us. It's us that is Hashem. So, but like you're saying, the chita comes from Hashem and the bread comes from us. So you ask a little kid, what's better? Something comes from like a man or something comes from Hashem? What does he say? Probably Hashem. No, right, by Hashem. But you ask us now, what's better? Pashit, if it has a higher level of precedence, it comes first in bread and bracha, it's more kedusha. So bread is more holy than wheat. Because the partnership of man and God is even greater than things that God gives us himself. Right? We're supposed to... Hashem created us to develop the world. Melol haaretz v'kivshua. Right? We're supposed to actually take control. That's like the whole man of faith, but whatever. We're supposed to take what we're given, the wheat, and turn it into bread. So bread, since it's a combination of the partnership of man and Hashem, is even higher than just wheat itself. Look at the way that the Chaban writes it. Everyone is familiar with the Chaban?
No.
Serious? You're kidding. Wait, seriously kidding.
You had it on the Makaros last time, but let's talk about it anyway.
Oh, fine. So, okay, fine. So the Chaban was a milkman. He's this man over here with the cheese in his hand. Chaban means milkman. And a bunch of years ago, he's an Israeli guy, lives like in the north somewhere, or like near Tel Aviv, whatever. It's not the north. And a few years ago, I don't know if he got caught or he was revealed that he's like beast Kabbalist with crazy clear ability to explain everything to like you and me. So that's why I have a lot of sfarim from him, because he's amazing. And this is another idea that I saw by him, and now he's like kind of out. In the past like 10 years, he has produced like 15 sfarim because everything he says they're just writing down and printing because it's amazing.
Which ones are his?
The white ones. Talei Chaim. His name is Reb Chaim Cohen. So check this out. This is unbelievable. I want to read it inside because also his language is so beautiful. Look at what he says in the bottom. Hey, Al kein kishanu mekayimin et es ha'alacha shel din kedima brachos. When we mekayim the halacha of like doing which brachos first, neida v'daski lahavin es ma'ilas ha'adim meshutfaso l'Hashem yisbarach. We have to understand our partnership with Hashem. He mitachdes hamadrid in the lowest level. Hakosis achid. You take a piece of wheat. Also, aroma ma'ila can actually go to the highest level. V'akol mikoach masav shel adam. It all comes from us. It's true not just with bread, but like you know we're saying with barley also, and also with grapes, because grapes is a eitz, and it gets even higher when you make it into wine. And seor is a dam, it gets even higher, it gets the mazonos when you make it into like cooked barley. These brachos, these food, bread teaches us how much we are partners with Hashem in fixing the world, in creating the world, in building the world. Okay. So the more that we're able to sort of add on the masa and what Hashem did, you know, with these fruits, then we'll come with enthusiasm. Sort of like the more bread you make, the more like better world you build. Lasos nachas ruach Hashem b'simchasol banav hamamshichem kedushasu magbir noso. Osa betachtazar. Hashem's getting nachas from this. Now listen to this beautiful, such a beautiful line. V'yeda ha'adam, shelo katan hu v'lo dal v'masa. Know that you're not small and the things you do are not insignificant. Ela koach yotzer bereishis chakuk bo. The power of a creator is engraved in you.
This is the Chaban saying this?
Yeah, this is the Chaban. Nishmas,
what? You know what Chalbana stands for, right? Of the Torah?
Yeah.
So it's just funny that like that's what the Chaban is saying, because that's I guess that's what Torah also alludes to, that the world is created for you.
Wow, it's very deep. And also Chaban means milkman, dairyman. It means the dairyman who turns milk into cheese.
The dairyman.
Oh.
Doesn't change the bracha.
Doesn't change the bracha. Exactly. It's fine. It's a good kash. I'll ask him. But look at this. So Nishmas Elokim Me'iru B'Kirbo, the Neshama of Hashem, and that's your question, Hamotzi, by the way, is the revelation of Hashem within us, bringing it out of the ground. She'al Yod Yachol L'Romim L'Far L'Shabeach HaSabori Baruch Hu V'ilu Emas Avelei L'Hosef Kedusha V'Tara Birchas Hashem Bako Miko Ko. Says the Chaban, making bread is the purpose of creation. And that's what Hashem wants in the world, is for us to turn fruits into like greater things. And now you can understand a little more when you take this idea. By the way, quick, awesome vart. Yehuda is Yud Hey Vav Dalad Hey. It's a Jew, a Yehuda. And I heard this from Rav Pinkus. From Rav Pinkus, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Dal. What's Dalad? What does Dal mean? It means like weak or low or whatever, like stuff, like low stuff. So the avoda of a Yehudi, of a Yehuda, is to take the Dal and to make it Yud Kei Vav Kei, to uplift, kind of bring Hashem into all the small, into the low. Like to turn sort of just wheat into challah on Shabbos. Like that's the avoda of a Yehuda. Very, it's a nice word anyways. But you take this kind of this idea about making bread, or making wine, or making like fresh barley, and you think about Torah for a second. And when it comes to learning Torah, so Torah, you know, comes before creation, it comes after creation, it's above time and everything. And a human being's mind is kind of like, compared to like spirituality, compared to other worlds, like the human mind is like pretty, pretty low. But when you take the human mind and you use that to develop it by adding Torah, kind of like flour and water, so to speak, because Torah is compared to water. And you take the mind, human mind, and logic, and you fuse it with Torah to create something new, you are doing the purpose of creation. But even deeper than this, because you're fulfilling our purpose of creation, like even right now, we're fulfilling the purpose of creation, even above creation itself. Because if we sit together and we have an idea in Torah, and we make something in Torah, so we have created something in this world, which is pretty, you know, relatively low on the spectrum of things, which is even greater than the world itself. Because Torah comes before and after the world, and it's above the world. So any chiddush or any development you have in Torah is you mama shatter everything. You're flying high above everything, just from one idea, because you made bread. And that's why I think Torah has to be so hard. Because if you listen to a lecture, you listen to a shiur, so you're not fusing with it, you're not making it part of it, you're just hearing an idea and it comes in, whatever. But if you have to work at it, and you're putting yourself into it, you're putting the wheat in it, and you're putting the water together, you're milling it, you're grinding it together, you come out with something new. You become new, the idea becomes new, you develop something. And all of a sudden, look what just happened. Unbelievable. Right? When I was able to put these things together, it's like an earth-shattering idea. Like, the fact that I've even put it together means that I did it. Right? It's like, everything's very, very meta tonight. It's like, we're talking about what we're doing as we're doing it. We're here, but we're not. You know what I'm saying? We're not here right now either. But listen to this. So now Bnei Yisrael get to the Yamsuf. And they get to the Yamsuf and they say, excuse me, please, you're trying to get through. And what does the Yamsuf respond? Bro, I'm a sea, I'm supposed to be here, I'm supposed to flow, I'm supposed to have waves, I'm not supposed to split. This is the point of my creation, is to be a sea. And who responds, leading the charge?
Yehuda.
The Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, Nachshon, who's from Yehuda, by the way. But who comes leading the charge? The Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael.
The logic.
And what's the first halacha? Who's leading the pack?
Kavachomer.
And Kal Vachomer says to the Yamsuf, listen, I know this is the point of your creation, but the point of our creation is Talmud Torah. And we have a tachlis greater than you, which is above the world. Your tachlis is in the world, you're supposed to be a river, a lake, whatever, a sea. Our tachlis is even above the world, and that's why the Yamsuf bowed to Klal Yisrael. Because our purpose is even greater than creation itself. It's pretty unbelievable. And that's why, that's Hayam Ravina's Mara Breiser Bishmal, it's Breiser Bishmal. And so it bowed to Klal Yisrael. And this, by the way, just a final point, is that if you look at the pasuk itself, Eretz Chita Sor Geffen, I was thinking, like, you wouldn't have even been able to have this whole vort unless you had human... Like, this is Torah Shabbat Sa. All of Torah Shabbat Pez, what we're talking about, is us creating new using our logic. And you wouldn't be able to do that with this pasuk, because Eretz Chita Sa'ora, how do you read it? Chita means wheat. Unless you use human logic to say, oh, it's got to be talking about bread somehow, you wouldn't have had this vort at all. So just understanding this pasuk, which teaches us this whole idea about a purpose of creation and making bread, etc., can only be done if we actually do it first. So to even throw meta out there again, it's pretty meta and meta and meta. And just to show you how big this idea is, when you get into the sugya... Yeah, is that time out?
No.
Ah, fine. I was like... I had a rule in Masora when I would say something which anyone thought in my group was not relevant to them, they would do this. And I'd say, what's up? And they'd be like, but rebellion, what does this have to do with me? That was the phrase. And then I'd have to explain. That was like a rule. So I thought that'd be me as a call it out.
You want to go through it then?
Yeah.
Ask.
But just to show you how big this is, like how many other ideas it has to do with, like you were saying, Rabbi Kiva and Tornus Rufus, that sugya of Tornus Rufus challenging Rabbi Kiva, like, why doing bris mila, you're ruining creation, and he responds, no, the point of creation is to use what Hashem gave us and make it even better at the bris mila. So this is all bris mila. The point of Eretz Yisrael is to use the land and build it. The point of Torah Shabbat Peh, the point of Geula is to fix the world like really man of faith. And the point of Klal Yisrael as a whole, as being the Kala, the husband of Hashem, the metaphor is that the husband comes home with the grain and the woman turns it into bread. That's like in the Zohar, that's like everywhere, the Shir, and like, so that's who we are as a people, we're bread makers. Whether you like it or not, you're a bread maker. So
bread maker.
So we learned Torah from the Chalban, and we are Achshav, Lachmanim. Kurimoti Lachman. Ani Lachman. Yeah, what's up?
Now, there's a beautiful idea in this week's parsha, actually from Rabbi Lam, which I think is totally this, but he talks about an otzer, a warehouse, where they used to store the wheat, and how every so often you would need to then process the wheat, because if you don't process the wheat, it then it's going to overflow. And so you need to have this balance of putting things in, putting more and more wheat in, and then continually processing it. And it's just this idea, again, of you want to make sure that the knowledge that you have, because you can go through... And you can just go through life, and you can go through Torah Shabbat 100 times, and you can memorize it, but you don't have the Torah Shabbat path to then process it and make it deeper and connect it to your life. That then is gonna overflow, and you're not gonna be able to really appreciate it. You're not gonna be able to gain.
And it's basically pointless. What's the point of having a silo full of wheat, which you can't turn into bread?
Right.
Oh. Taka.
It's interesting. This is also probably why we don't assume gospel. Just thinking about what Hashem wanted us to do. Hashem just like spoon fed us all the halakha, we'd have no point of ever like coming up with ourselves. We went through all this, like, think about how degrading it must be to go through all this like spar and like spend hours and hours, and all of a sudden you come to the conclusion, alright, this is how we're gonna do it. And then at like that, it's like taken away by what Hashem told you, like you kind of like have
this. Rosh Chodesh when we're in the Kaddish ourselves.
Kaddish was matter.
So within the day of the day of the meta of the meta.
That's true.
No, and then also just that point of Rosh Chodesh, other kimu kibu masha kibu kfar. I mean, if we already had it, then the hanami, why does it matter if we get it, if we're accepting it now? The idea that we're makabal it ourselves, that's the whole chat of Torah Shabbat Peh.
Kimu kibu
masha kibu kfar. It doesn't matter, like, so like shkef, that you were already makabal it, if you take it now in this own sense, in a new sense, where you're making it like personalized, then it takes on a whole new meaning.
That's good. That's all for today.
Yeah. Well, wasn't also the Torah Shabbat Peh, like the way Rabbi Rashi put it together to keep that Rebbe Talmud going. Thinking about it, I could just treat it myself. Saying my written IRS, like, I don't ever go to my philosophy professor to explain me stuff, like, test me on it, but I don't ask them any questions. So, like, there'd be no Rebbe Talmud situation if Rabbi Rashi just laid it right out for you. Same way, like, it was like English Sfarim, like, it was like, Hilch was a brothel, pretty much give you the. Imagine if the Gemara was like.
That was the Meiri. It was the Meiri. And why Mava is Mava.
Oh, the beginning of this.
Yeah.
Week. Yeah. No, why Mava is Mava, meaning is it.
Why
is
doesn't
it
tell you which one?
Why doesn't
one?
It just say which one that it is?
Yeah, why did he write Mava?
And Rebbe connected.
Why didn't he just write
Tosfos
Adam? Why didn't he just write Chain?
He had a Shita.
What was the answer?
The answer is to continue on to perpetuate, because the idea that it was already a machlok, because the point isn't just a paskin and this is what you do. Rather, the point is to develop a mahalach and understanding different ideas. Because meaning, the same way that it's the six awos, everyone agrees those six awos exist, why do we say arba awos nizikin, why is it machlokas and what mava is, how do you look at all these things, and the way that the...
But that was to keep Torah Shabbat Peh alive.
Yeah. Is that
even
what
as you're writing it down.
Is that what, was that not what we were talking about?
No, he's talking about Rebbe Talmud relationship.
Oh, because to
that's
keep
the same
Torah Shabbat Peh alive,
but
you need to
yeah,
yeah,
I guess
it's even in Torah Shabbat Peh.
Before it was written down, it was the Rebbe Talmud relationship. That was the whole idea. The only reason we had to is because people started to forget it.
Okay, Shia, I'll speak to you later, okay?
Alright, thanks for calling me on the call.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye, Shia.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Love you. All those floors.